I'm telling you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Boiling Point Faith and Fire. Brandon Lynette here, author, entrepreneur, and really, I'm just an unapologetic truth teller. Let's be real. America's at her boiling point. People are fed up, fired up, and finally waking up to kind of what's been in front of us. Government overreach and to the health industry cashing in on sickness instead of solutions. Okay. This podcast is where faith meets fire, and we stop letting fear and lies and imbalance run the show. Speaking of imbalance, you guys, I just want to talk about your body for a second because you cannot fight the good fight when your energy is tanked, when your mood is off, or you're running on fumes. And that's what happens when your omega levels are out of whack. I don't trust Big Pharma, but I do trust the data. Okay. That's why I test, I don't guess. And I've got an omega blood test in the show notes because I'm telling you right now that changed everything for me. In fact, if you follow me on Facebook, I'm going to put up a really personal post today about a testimony that. Guys have no business reading, but I have to say it for my ladies. So please make sure you are subscribed to my Facebook so you can see that post. But let's figure out what's going on the inside. Quick disclaimer, not doctors, not lawyers. We're actually the good guys. And we're also not your emotional support hotline, okay? Two opinionated adults talking about faith and freedom and facts. Nothing you hear in this podcast is ever going to be suggested to take as medical, legal, or financial advice. Okay. And if you try to sue us for having an opinion, I mean, good luck with that. And if you're ready to get resourced, I want you guys to follow my co-host, Rory. He is not just our brother in faith, he is a podcast connoisseur and coach who's going to help you find your voice, build your message, and actually be heard. And I'm going to do a quick disclaimer today because this is going to go one of two ways, you guys. Okay. Probably New York, I'm talking to you first. Either he's going to be really quiet about you guys today, or you're going to get yelled at. And either way, it's going to suck. So, Rory, hello. How are you, darling?
What a setup, what a lead in. I'm better than I deserve because all this other stuff doesn't affect me here in wonderful little Indiana, at least today. So I am
Yeah.
blessed and grateful for the fact that I get to live in a red state where there is still a semblance of sanity.
Yeah, I'm jelly. And I want to make it clear, like, because a lot of people are panicking right now. And you guys, like, it's not a time to panic. This is really just a face palm to the head. New York voted for what it wanted, and we can't do anything about that. But I want to make it very clear, like, blue states just stayed blue. So there was no uproar, there was no shock and awe. But it is disappointing. And I'm going to talk about this today because you guys, I did feel a little sick to my stomach this morning. Like I woke up and I'm like setting up for the podcast and I go through like news headlines and I just kind of go through X and I just check different sources, right? And I'm like, man, what is bothering me so much? And I really think it's because I know this isn't the episode we're going to do this, but we do need to call Trump out on some things. I just am sick because this is not America first. And the disappointment I feel is because everybody that's really speaking out, and I'm telling you guys to have a voice, absolutely, you have to start somewhere. But this is a spiritual battle right now. So I don't think it's about us even calling out Republicans anymore. This is like a call to arms for Christians. This is you guys, because I'd listen. This is biblical. This is biblical. In America, I mean, it's in the Bible. Israel begs for a king, right? And God is warning them, like, they have not rejected you. They have rejected me from being king over them. So he's like, you are about to give over leadership to men who don't answer to me. This is in the Bible, and you're going to feel it. So God is saying right now, every time God's people let outsiders and pagans or people without fear of the Lord rule, the pattern has been the same. Biblically, historically, time and time again, compromise, corruption, collapse. So, this is not red and blue today. If I had to go to the polls, I'm gonna vote red, but come on, this is so beyond that. You cannot set a king to rule who does not fear God and think that you're going to be safe as a Christian. And this is not about ethnicity, so you can call me racist all you want. This is about covenant. God drew a line and we should draw a line. Leadership belongs to those who serve under his authority and share the same allegiance to him. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Do you guys remember this? And maybe it's because it was taken out of schools. Maybe it's because the Bibles were taken out of schools. Do you see where we messed up by being quiet? So we've got a nation inviting leaders in who do not honor God's laws. They're literally mocking his name. They are building power by deception. So nobody's shocked. Nobody's going to be shocked when New York starts rotting from the inside out. And I'm going to tell you right now, God does not bless rebellion. He will hand you right over to what you choose. There you go. If you're in New York and you're a Christian and you spoke up and you spoke out, you could be protected, but you need to get out of there. This is a spiritual war. Politics is the stage it's playing on. That is simple. You people in New York are telling God, like, we got it from here. We're good. We got someone that's really going to take care of us. Never will he bless a nation that rejects him. And go through, do the research yourself. I want to choke you guys. Do the research yourself, biblically and historically. When God's not in it, what happens? And he's going to let people feel the weight of their decisions. And this is where we're at, America. We've let people who don't love this country, and I'm not even talking about New York, I'm talking about a lot of blue state leaderships. They don't love this country. They don't fear God. They don't honor truth. And now they're driving the bus. This is about light and dark, good versus evil. Are you pitching for the devil or are you holding the line for Christ? Because that's literally like that's the ball game right now. That's the ball game. And I think that's what makes me feel the worst is like just the disappointment in humanity, you know? And it's you guys know Muslims hate America and Christians, right? Like you know that there's videos circulating right now, the Muslim Brotherhood. Like, I'm gonna say that. You want to know what they feel about leadership and women and LGBTQ? They literally think that if you're gay, you're gonna die. So you think we're bad? You think Republicans are bad just because we don't want to celebrate with a pride parade? We never cared who you slept with. We don't care. I'm not gonna say you should die. Like, I love you. God loves you. Do I hope you come back to what's natural and how we were created? Absolutely. I don't want you dead for this, but you're going to bring in someone that would literally want you dead for this. And I'm not exaggerating. You can go do the research and you can figure out what happens here. But I always say I talk too much and I'm sorry. I'm going on a rant. I'm gonna rein it in. Rory, get mad. Get him. No.
You were on a roll. I was not getting in the way of that. I mean, you see the truck coming down the highway, you don't walk in front of it. So, there's a lot to what went down with that all those elections. One of the biggest things that happened in all of that is that in New York, there are a lot of New Yorkers who are American citizens who are really upset about what happened. And it's because, they don't understand how he got that many votes. When I talk to all of the friends of mine who live in New York, I know a disproportionate number of people in New York City for some reason, probably through podcasting and such. But to a person, they voted for Cuomo. They didn't like him. They weren't
The
happy about
lesser
it.
of two evils.
But he was the lesser of the two evils. And they just couldn't bring themselves to vote Republican, so they voted for him. And none of them can understand it. And both of these states that had these elections go the way they did, New Jersey and New York, both have absolutely no intention ever of implementing voter ID. And as long as you don't have voter ID, then what you have is in New York, you have the second largest grouping and sort of gathering of illegal immigrants in the entire nation. And they all came out to vote for the guy who was going to continue to give them free stuff and continue to fight to not let them get deported and everything else. And when you really start looking at what happened, Van Jones came on CNN and tried to make this a big movement and tried to say, hey, buyer's remorse is real. And so, black people who went for Trump now are coming back to the Democratic Party. And, Hispanic people who went for Trump, they're coming back now because they realize that it was a bad decision. That's not what happened. Van, that's just absolutely distorting what actually happened. They will not turn over their voter rolls. They've already been asked by the Justice Department to see voter rolls. They will not do it. They're going to sue to make sure that they don't. There was more illegal voting in this thing than ever before, and it was all the illegal immigrants that didn't need photo ID went and voted. So, I mean, for us to not see this coming was probably naive, because this is how they set it all up. And I kind of feel like I did the other day on the podcast. You're going to get what you deserve. This is what you voted for. This is what you've allowed. Now, I have a lot of my friends who are, more of the moderate liberal, type folks who are saying, well, it's not what I voted for. Yeah, it is. Because even though you didn't vote for that guy, you've been voting for the party that is against voter ID. So the people you put in power put these policies in place so that the guy you didn't want elected could get elected. So again, I don't want to hear you crying now. I don't want to hear any more of it. You're going to get what you deserve. And you know what? It's not going to be fun. Elections, actions have consequences. Everything you've done for the last 20 years, and all of the Democrats that you've elected and all the liberals you've elected who have decided to go on this, open border kick, this no voter ID kick, well, this is the result that you never wanted to see before. They literally took your city away from you because you put them in power. Live with that. And next time, do better.
I mean, it's a perfect storm. If I was the devil, I would want to work it from the inside out. And you guys gave him the perfect platform. Perfect
I've been using
platform.
your phrase, useful idiot. I've been
Yep.
using that a lot lately. Every one of them
Yeah. But I
voted for
just,
this.
the confusion for me and the frustration that my brain just can't comprehend is like, how can you do something so illegal? Like, with the voting, I don't understand. Like, you do something so illegal. And I saw all the videos, a guy bragging about it twice. Mom Dummy's name was on there twice at the top. Some guy that dropped out, his name was still on there. I mean, there's a lot of details and a lot of facts that are out, people on video talking about it. Like, how is that legal? Like, how do we not have something in power to come to these places and be like, look, this, we're, you don't get to reject us seeing what the truth is.
Yeah, there's that's how do you get to be illegal, right? How do you get to just do things that are illegal? That's where the voting for all the local officials has come in. That's where the Kathy Hochuls, the governor, come in.
Okay.
That's where, the district attorneys, come in. That's where all of the George Soros-funded people up and down the chain in the local municipalities come in. They've been making these laws, putting these things on the books. And when you have a state law that's an election law in New York as a state that says voter ID is not required, show up, state your name, and go on, vote, then you're actually within the law to do things that we all know are completely unlawful. They've made unlawful laws. And the people in New York were like, well, but that's okay because,
Yeah.
Trump is bad.
Trump is bad.
So, now we have the liberal young white women who are running around on Facebook. I can't even believe how much I've seen in the last
Oh.
24 hours. And they're making jokes about, the Southeast or the Southeast Caliphate of Manhattan, blah, 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 and making fun of what everybody thought was coming, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you just voted in a guy who believes in radical Islam, who believes in the Quran, who absolutely believes in Sharia law and has said so. So I'm not assigning anything to this guy. This isn't racist. This isn't, any sort of ethnic issue. I don't care, but that's who he is. That's what he has said. You all just voted for a guy who not only isn't going to let you have an abortion, but isn't going to let you even have an opinion. You voted for a guy who wants you walking around in, total body covering from head to toe. And you voted for a guy who wants to take away your ability to go to school and read and write. That's the end of that story. Look that up. Call me what you want. But when you look that up, that's all real. And that's what he believes in. And he said it on video over and over and over, not in one where you can claim it was doctored. They're literally just voting because they're told to do so. So, you know, if anything, the lesson here is the voter ID, but it's also how strong the media actually still has a hold on places like New York City, Portland, you know, Atlanta, Chicago, Los Angeles. The mainstream media is losing all kinds of power in the flyover states, you know, where you and I are. But man, they are more powerful than they've ever been in those concentrated areas, clearly, because these people are not thinking for themselves at all.
You guys, I don't know. It you do need to go do some research. This is a solid group with it. This it's not even opinions to them. This is an organization that has been very open about wanting to reshape nations and laws around strict Islamic rule. Ideology is hostile towards Christians, has always been hostile towards the Western culture, towards women's freedom. Anyone who doesn't fall in line with that version of Sharia, like that's what I mean. I maybe these women need this. I don't know. Maybe they need to know what it's really like and experience that. Like you have to submit, you have to cover up. You sure as hell don't get a yell and throw tantrums on the internet. Literally, gay people are treated like moral failures. And they want to kill you. That
Yeah.
it's everywhere. It is everywhere. You are an enemy of their mission if you are a Christian. And so this is not about tolerance. Like love them from a distance, or if you love them so much, like go to their country and let them rule you in their country. We're not going to create America to be a reflection of everything we were built on everything opposite of what this guy stands for. And this is dangerous ground. Because once you let ideologies like this gain influence and you let them have that leadership, like it's you just give the keys to people who don't have the same moral framework. That's it. You guys, I'm telling you, it's spiritual because God warned people over and over about letting outsiders who don't fear him rule. It's over and over. It's not cherry picking scripture. It is in every story. Compromise will always lead to captivity. And I'm not saying we're called to hate people, but we are called to guard the truth and stand our ground. Can I hate someone who's raised in that country and that's what they believe? I don't hate you for that. I don't think it's right. I can't hate you for that. It's how you were raised. It's your truth, whatever. I'm in America where I could be a Christian and that's what I need. But right now, I think you guys need to really get some spiritual discernment more than political correctness. I want you to stop thinking about President Trump. Like, we're all pissed at him right now. But nobody's out throwing a tantrum. Nobody's out voting to destroy their country because they're mad about the man who's the president for 3 years. You know, Democrats have been the leadership in this country for how many years? Almost 20 years. They've held the seat of power. What is great about America? What have you guys done to make America great? So, yeah, a man in office for 3 years. I mean, suck it up. We're all a little pissed. Okay. At this point, I'm like, well, it was the lesser of two evils because he's doing some things that make me want to choke him. But I also, okay, am reading between the lines of like this political show because New York's done. That's it. They're gonna reap what they sow. There's nothing we could do for that. Okay. Unfortunately, I do live in a blue state though. So I'm always like, man, what's next for us? What is next for us? So there's some scary things happening, but it is what it is. Outside of this, my husband's listening to a podcast episode the other day with Joe Rogan and Elon Musk. And I'm going to talk about another little spiritual warfare that's coming at us because when I tell you guys, like this whole, I want this show just to make you understand you have to be vigilant in your relationship with Christ. And that's not just listening to the Boiling Point twice a week and be like, oh, she's so right. This is spiritual. No, this is like open your Bible, read the pages, because that is number one, the only comfort I have. That's the only comfort I have right now, because I'm like, man, this world is crazy. It is crazy. And I'm going to talk about two serious things that I feel like the devil is working through right now, not just in leadership, because it's not like any states flipped, right? Like the blues, they're getting what they asked for. So there's, if you're going to be political, there's no point in being in an uproar. Okay. Because here we are. People made their bed, they're going to sleep in it. So anyway, Musk and Rogan are talking, and Musk is talking about how he believes that the conventional smartphone and the entire ecosystem of apps and operating system models are headed for extinction. Like, this will be old news. So he sees a world where devices become what he calls edge nodes for AI. So it's going to be minimal hardware that just displays what the AI predicts you'll want to see or hear. And all the heavy lifting is just going to happen in a little tiny server. And so I'm telling, like, he is emphasizing, you guys, that nearly everything that you consume, videos, music, content, all AI generated. And he even warned of the risks. Like, if AI is built with distorted value systems, like enforcing ideas it knows are false, which I don't know if you guys know this, but AI is very biased.
Just ask
Even
it. Yeah.
X, sometimes it's very hard for me to get Grok to tell the truth. So I have to take my research outside of any of that, because it's just very biased. Even knowing it's false, the consequences are going to be catastrophic. And he talked about how even government functions are going to increasingly be automated for managed via AI systems. You know, like he even talked about what value set that those systems are going to run on. And he's saying this is going to happen in the next 5 to 6 years. That's a big deal to me. Like, our whole experience on this earth, you guys, like, we have to remember who we are as humans. We are not just a meat suit. You are a whole soul, and that is energy that never dies. Like, we came here for a human experience. A human experience. And I feel like you are dangerously crossing some lines against what God wrote for us. I mean, this comes under the same spiritual category as every other man-made attempt to play God. That's it. And maybe you're not going to find artificial intelligence in the Bible, but it really talks a lot about, like, human pride, idolatry, the drive to create power apart from the creator. And if you think that putting everything in our lives as AI is going to be some great invention, achievement, you have missed the point. Like, humanity is why we're here. And as much as people are selling their souls to politics and ideologies there, those are the same people that are going to fall in to what AI is going to do. And if you think you can't share the earth with people who are extreme liberals, like, just let their life be ruled by AI. It is robots without a soul. There is no more reaching the human side of their spirit. It is gone. That's it. So if I was the devil, I sure would want people. I would want to have global control through everything in a simple little device without apps. There's no more Spotify to listen to a podcast, but maybe some AI robots will pretend what Rory and Brandon would say, but then it's not going to fit the ideology of what's implanted inside the AI device. Like, these are the things you guys have to think about when it comes to what you're voting for. Like, we got permission from God. Like, he gave us dominion over creation, not permission to recreate life and just call it wisdom. Like, we're so smart, we're so intelligent. This isn't a tech problem, you guys. It's a heart problem. And this is us saying, we don't need God. We could build it on our own.
This is where faith has to come back.
It has to come back.
This is where faith is going to play its biggest part. I want to make sure that I get on record as saying that I don't trust Elon Musk any further than I can throw him.
No.
Never have. I mean, the fact that he sort of changed sides and may have helped Trump win, great. Okay. But because I think it was definitely the lesser of two evils. But I've never trusted him. And the whole time he's been talking about how bad AI is, and he has been the loudest voice about the dangers of AI. The entire time I've been going, there's an old Shakespearean saying that says, "Methinks thou dost protest too much," which means if you're protesting that badly about something, then it's probably because you're guilty. Okay. He gets to turn around 5, 6 years from now and say, "I have been on the cusp of this. I've been the leader telling you that, guys, it's coming. I've been the one who's been out front, even when I've been persecuted, saying AI is bad." And then he gets to go, and here's the solution from me and my company. And then he has control of everything. Any solution to AI is going to be more control. And the only way to get out of this is for people to wake up and stop using it. They already have Facebook ads out there. You've probably seen them, where you don't even have to do your podcast anymore. You can pay for an AI program that becomes you and looks like you
Oh,
on
that's
video.
real already?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
You
I
can
didn't
buy
know.
it. So that, and the whole thing is, if you don't like getting in front of a camera, just buy our program. We'll create you for you. And you just tell it what you want to say, and it'll do the podcast for you. They're already encouraging us to replace ourselves with AI. As soon as that happens, then what? Joe Rogan gets replaced, and every political commentator gets replaced, and every conservative voice gets shut down, and you lose everything. So, I mean, there's nowhere to go once that takes over. Once that
No.
kicks in, it's done. It's game over at that point. And we are, again, being the useful idiot who's going, "Oh, how convenient. How awesome is that?" I cannot believe the people around me that just think that's great. And it's going to absolutely have to come back to faith. It's going to have to come back to Christians who understand that we were put here for a reason, that we have the belief that we have for a reason. And we have to actually pick up that Bible and read it to find out about all the false gods and what we're supposed to do and we're faced with them and what the devil's plan is, because that's also written out for us in the Bible. It's like you're always saying they have to tell you what they're going to do. The devil does. Tells you point blank what he's going to do. Every devil in the world today has told you what they're going to do. From George Soros to Karl Marx. They say, "This is what we're going to do." Then they do it. And then we're so stupid that we just go, "Oh, thanks for doing that to me. Because you made my life easier for 18 seconds, even though I just lost years of freedom." It is the dumbest thing in the world that we allow this to happen. And AI is just creeping in through entertainment. And, we're using it in our podcast, we're using it in artwork, we're using it for posts, we're using it for to manage our books, we're using it to become us now. And it starts small with little things that are just harmless, and then you just get used to using it. There are people that I deal with on a regular basis who can't function anymore without it. They
Like,
just
how do you
can't.
not function without it?
It's okay. Hey, I can't, my AI is not working right, so I don't have my podcast description written. Write it yourself. Takes a little longer, but I don't know how. This is a real conversation. You know what I'm saying? You become dependent on it, and then you kind of forget how to do it. How many of us grew up learning the times tables? Two times two is four. Two times three. Two times, right? And, so I had it written on the cover of my book, the old, brown paper bag, right? So I could just learn it all the time. You know how many kids don't have any idea what that is? I mean, my kids can't, honestly, my boys are both brilliant, and they can't do what's, 8 times 9 without getting their phones out. because they've never had to.
We're old school here with an abacus and a little bubble pop times table, you guys. I'm not even joking.
You
My
said
husband didn't even
abacus.
know. Yeah, I swear. He didn't even know what an abacus was. And I'm like, ah, homeschool magic 101.
There you
You know? So my 7-year-old's like, he'll ask her a question. She says, Dad, let me show you. 30 minus 17. Boom, boom, boom. You guys get back to the basics. Like this. Is it funny to say, you know, when we were in school, they were like, you're never just gonna be able to walk around with a calculator. Ha ha, joke's on you. We did it. But what happens when cell phone towers do go out? And like if I mean we're imploding on ourselves. Like we're imploding on ourselves. I see the world panic when the internet shuts down for 30 minutes, okay? But I can assure you, any podcast where you see my face, I hate being on camera. I'm the first person. I don't rewatch it. I hate how I look. I hate everything about it. I will tear myself apart every single time. I hate
You're
being on
killing me.
camera, but
You're killing me.
not to the point where I would ever just be like, okay, I need an AI to sit here. So I would never respect you or support you or give your podcast a listen if you don't have the balls to sit in front of the camera like the rest of us. Really. And if you can't hold a conversation without chat, it's going to be very super apparent in real life conversations, and people are going to see you as a fraud. So I say do it the hard way. Okay. Take the hour of your day to write your content. Do it the hard way. It's a lot more rewarding. It's a lot more refreshing.
Totally
I
agree.
couldn't, 90% of the time, I couldn't do a podcast without my bullet points. Like I know what I want to talk about, so I know the bullet points. And are there sub bullet points? Yes. So I'm not saying you got to raw dog it every single time, but you guys need to be able to have like a real conversation. What are you gonna do when someone stops you on the street? Hold on 1 second. What was your question? Well, I think that's an unjust statement. Like you guys.
Yeah, you write your own bullet points. You don't use chat to come up with your bullet points, do you?
I do my own bullet points, but I will tell you guys, I use chat every single day. I use chat. I bought a program. It's called Zenith Mind. If you guys ever want this program, you need to come to me. It's Zenith Mind, and it's a program that I use through a place like chat. And I've worked through all of my stuff. Like I have worked through like my patterns of learning, my patterns of scheduling, my patterns of self-destruction. I basically programmed the program to call me out on my bullshit. That's it. Like I need a life coach to follow me throughout the whole day and be like, listen, okay, that set an hour timer and do this and focus, and then turn off the timer and come back over here and focus and I need that structure. And this has done that for me where I could do it for myself. So, do I think there are some benefits to AI? Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I've grown so much in the past few months, just being able to step into my voice and see my weakness and be able to use that as a strength now. So I think there's some benefits. 100%. But those posts on Facebook are blood, sweat, and tears, you know? And it's funny, I literally was just asked, someone's like, can you just write all my posts for me on Facebook? And I'm like, is that a thing? And I
Oh, yeah.
guess it is a thing to have people do this for you, but like I can never take my words and give them to someone else for credit. If I see you take my post and copy and paste it, I block you. Like after I tell you you're a terrible person. Like those words are my heart and soul. Really, everything I write is like I put effort into that. And so I don't think I could ever be someone that writes for people. Like I couldn't be a ghostwriter. It would make me very uncomfortable. Like those, our words are our footprint, you guys. Like our voice matters. That's biblical.
Sure.
It is biblical that your words matter. So make this a you thing, because people are gonna see through that really fast.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I actually do that. I did a lot of ghostwriting when I was sort of, I don't know, transitioning, I guess,
Yeah.
out of corporate world into entrepreneur world, and it was great extra money and so on. And so, but I know what you mean, because I always had the hard time of, I'd write this book. I'd make a couple hundred bucks for writing the book or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then whoever had the personality and the build up on Amazon and the following on social media, they would publish it under their name, as if it
Oh.
was theirs. And I would watch it sell, 60,000 copies.
Yeah.
And I'd be like doing the math just on self-publishing Amazon, going, they just made how many thousands of dollars off all the work I did, and I
Hurts my
got paid a
heart.
couple hundred bucks, But that's the deal. It's a trade-off. I mean, I needed the couple hundred bucks at that time to make the
Yeah.
transition to help dig out of what I was in, with my family.
Yep.
But I did, and I wrote that. I do social media management now for people, and I have clients that I do that for. Log into their accounts, and as them, I write their posts and do their stuff and put it
That's
out there for them.
amazing.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
that's
it's
when
a
I would be
business. It really
using
is.
chat. I'd be using chat. I'd be like, okay, this is Mary.
Nope.
She's X amount of years old. Because if it was my words, I can never do that. I can never do that. One of my greatest friends on my Facebook page, I'm telling you, I block people when they take my words. She, three times in a row, she copy and pasted what I said and used it as her own. And that third time, I was like, that's it. I love you to death, but I will block you so fast if you ever do this again. Like, give me the credit for my words. You know what I mean? And she's been very great about it. She works on sharing instead of just copy and pasting, or at least tagging me. But there's no way, like, my actual heart and soul, I could just put someone else's name on that. Like, it would physically hurt me. I would be depressed.
And see, that's how I feel about chat. I'm glad we're having this conversation for other people
Yeah.
here, because that's how I feel about chat, is that I feel like I'm giving up my heart and soul to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And would it make my life easier? I mean, yeah, I have six podcasts counting this one. Okay. So five that are mine, one that I co-host with you. Would it make my life a lot easier? Yeah. Would it help with everything that I do and all aspects of, the business that I run on a regular basis? Yeah.
Yes.
But it also wouldn't be me. And
Right.
at some point, I wouldn't be good at it anymore,
Right.
because speaking and writing and coming up with show notes and being creative and doing posts, doing reels, putting up stories, sending messages, all of these things are just like any other muscle.
Yeah.
It's just like any other sport. If you aren't practicing it, you're not going to be good at it. And as soon as you hand it all over to chat, you're
You're
not
done.
practicing anymore.
You're
And
done.
eventually you will not be as good at it. And if you ever have to stop using chat because, Skynet comes in, takes over the world, Elon
Yes.
Musk, tries to destroy everybody,
Exactly.
then you're how are you going to continue? How are you going to move forward? Because you've just lost everything that you gave to chat.
Right.
So
And that's
I think you're giving away your soul when you do that.
it's you absolutely are. And if I was going to ghostwrite, that's what I would be doing, giving up my soul. So I would use
Yeah.
chat because I would have sold out already. Like, I would have sold out. But you guys, it is very, it's just biblical to build everything on that foundation of God. So if you're going to do a business, if you're going to do a podcast, I didn't start Listen Bitch on the foundation of God. Absolutely not. Did I love him and believe in him? Yes. Did I take it serious? Absolutely not. I was a soft Christian. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Of course I'm a Christian. Then suddenly I was a Christian doing Reiki healing, and suddenly I was a Christian doing card reading. And now it's good because I'm the light. Rory, don't tell me it's of the devil because I'm telling people like really great things and I'm helping them do really, no. Nope, I was washed out. So the rebranding of Brandon Lynette didn't start a foundation on there, but I brought him into it. And did I think it would hurt the show? Absolutely. Was I like, should I just scrap it? No, I want people to see that growth. I want
Right.
people to be able to listen to my first episode and be like, oh, she is not the same. Like, thank God for that. We are not called to be the same. And if a year from now you're listening to Rory and I on the Boiling Point, and you're not saying the same thing, if you're not like, wow, they've changed, we're doing it wrong. And if you're not building that foundation on who you are and using the voice that God gave you don't have a foundation, and no one's ever going to say, wow, they've really grown. They're really changing. Like, people need to see that natural ebb and flow of life. And if we're going to be staying the same, we're missing the whole point of our purpose spiritually. God put a calling on your life, and it's not to let robots talk for you. It's not to let copy and paste be your best friend. It's not to let the media dictate what is right and wrong for you. It's not about letting, your politicians decide what your future is going to look like. None of that is biblical. None of it. And I think probably the most horrific thing that I want to talk to you about today, okay? I know human sacrifice has been a thing since humans have been around. It has been a thing historically, and it has not stopped. And I'm not talking about a political tap dance, okay? Biblically, life begins at conception. God knew you, your purpose, your spirit, your soul before he knit you in your mother's womb. He doesn't wait for a heartbeat. He didn't wait for a trimester to call it life. He is involved from the very first moment. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And that is not poetry. That is absolutely a divine claim on your life. So when society has normalized that ending a life, especially, I'm not okay with it ever. But when we're talking deep in the pregnancy, when the baby has proven to be able to feel pain and to be able to survive outside the womb, that is a demonic defiance of the author of our story. So Colorado put up a third trimester abortion clinic. I am trying not to cry. Woo! I can't. It guts me to think there's humans that signed off on this, to think that humanity for one second thinks that a procedure done when a child can survive if delivered, this is moral and spiritual rebellion against God's design, and there's no voice for this life. And I think how broken is God that he makes this creation and it's just getting murdered immediately. And I get that human sacrifice, it's been a thing, but it doesn't have to be a thing here, and it doesn't have to be something that we sign off on. And this is not about controlling women. This is about protecting the most defenseless human beings among us, and stop trying to normalize what God is calling sin. I get that God's heart is always mercy. Okay. I pray for myself because I couldn't pray for the people that do this. I will never pray for mercy on their soul because I just can't. They're not human to me anymore. So, if you call yourself a Christian and you're sitting there quietly because you think it's women's rights, if you're sitting there quietly because you're just letting evil run rampant, like you have totally missed the assignment. This is horrific to me. And adults in New York, like you got what you asked for. So am I going to cry about that? Like, no, that it doesn't affect me emotionally at all. I think you're useful idiots. I feel sorry for the Christians that didn't have the choice. I live in a blue state. You know, there's a lot of reasons why I can't leave. A lot of reasons why I can't leave. If I got left out here, I would hope that someone prayed for me here, if this is what happened to my state, you know, for whatever that is. So I do feel bad for the Christians that got overrun there. And don't have a choice. You know, I pray for you. Talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors, speak out, bring more people to Christ, whatever that looks like. But this here is crazy. It's crazy to me because these aren't adults that are consenting. This is just people that have been brainwashed by the devil himself through the media, through what's cool, through what fits in, because women's rights, you guys. In a country that literally will give a man Women of the Year award, you know, like I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted, and I think this is the one of the most horrific things that I see happening right now in our country. Like this is it's crazy to me. That's my rant on that.
You okay?
Colorado's disgusting. I'm good, and I'm glad I don't live there anymore. I wish my dad and my sister would leave, but just gross. Gross.
The hardest parts about that story is that it isn't just the people who voted on it. That
Right.
group of people in the legislature that said, this is what we're going to do. They were put there by thousands and thousands and thousands of other people who apparently are okay with this and feel the same way because they voted them in to make this decision. So, it's the ire is at the people in Colorado who voted them in that are
Yeah.
making this decision. Then they're okay with it and they're going to reelect them next time. So, it's it's all part of my closing rant.
Yeah.
So,
Well,
yeah.
I'm gonna let Rory close us out here after I go ahead and give you guys the last piece of my mind because I am like I need a minute. Don't talk to me about red and blue because it's not that at all anymore. It's not. And they say sides, obviously, because I do feel like in a big way it's wings of the same bird. Everybody says it. Okay. Like the devil has his hold. He has his hold. He has his people. This is a battle. Like we can't break what he's already declared as his. The devil got him. If they surrendered, nothing we can do about that. But like God did not put us here to blend in. He called us to stand out. So if you're trying to go with the crowd and you're trying to fit in because you think women's rights are cool or you think that gay pride parades are important, if you think signing off on mutilating bodies is cool, if you think welcoming the brotherhood of Muslims that want to slaughter you, like if you think that's cool because everybody says it's the right thing because it's on the media, it's on the news, it must be true. You're supposed to stand out. We're supposed to be salt and light. But the salt, obviously, once it loses its flavor, it gets thrown out. And light, if you hide it under a basket, it's useless. Silence is not grace. It is surrendering to the evil of the world. Through the entire scripture, the people that God used the most are the people that spoke up when it was unpopular. Every single time. My boy Paul, he's my favorite. I can't even tell you guys how much I've aligned with him. He preached the truth while he was locked up in chains. And they didn't wait for a majority vote. They didn't wait for permission. They didn't wait for acceptance. They didn't wait to make sure nobody's going to unfriend them or block them or call them names. They didn't wait for any of that. They just obeyed God. And right now, while the world is rewriting the truth, literally redefining what is moral, and they're destroying innocence. Too many Christians are hiding behind kindness, and you're calling it love. And that is not love. You are a coward. You're a coward. Call the truth for what it is. If you have a platform, use it. If you've got a voice, raise it. And God is not looking for perfect. I am a mess. I am one of the messiest people you'll ever meet. But he called me, and I'm letting him use me. He's just looking for obedience. And obedience is going to be having courage in a culture that worships comfort. This whole world, fat and happy and comfortable. And I'm sick of it. Do not call yourself a Christian right now if you're not going to speak up, if you're not going to be bold, and if you're not going to be loud. Because as much as heaven's listening, so is hell. And sometimes the things you don't say say everything. So silence is complicity. And I hope Rory yells at you guys because I'm really mad and I'm really disappointed at all of you.
You just did my closing almost verbatim,
Oh, that's
and you said
terrible.
it. No, you said it incredibly well. So I'm not going to restate what you just said because I couldn't do it as good, and I could not do it with that kind of passion, that kind of heart. So
Yeah.
all I will say is, what Brandon
Yeah.
said. So I'm with you 100%, and you know that. I
Yeah.
think well said today.
Yeah. I love you guys. I'm just a little pissed off, and I'm not going to sign off on your BS. So, with that said, we'll see you guys next week.